Buenas noches.
Oh, very good. It's a joy to be here. Thank you, Pastor Weaver, for the privilege of being here and being part of this conference. And my heart has been challenged, amen, to hear the Lord working in the life of these precious missionaries. And I truly believe that missionaries are the most precious servants of God in the world. And I love missionaries, and I thank God for you, and thank you for being here and for sharing your heart with us. And it's been a joy to be here. I've been refreshed. I've been blessed. Thank you so much for having me. Would you please stand to your feet, and I'd like you to open your Bibles to the book of Revelations, please. Be honest with you, I did not want to preach what I'm going to preach. Honestly, in the afternoon after we got back to the hotel, I was going through some messages and praying and struggling, but I really feel the Lord wants me to preach tonight this message. Revelation chapter 3, please, and I'd like you to, I want to just read one verse because of time, but I want you to keep your Bibles open to Revelation chapter 3. I'm going to read verse 16 and 17. The Bible says, "So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither hot nor cold, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing. And knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked." I'd like to speak on the subject tonight, the truth about lukewarm Christianity. The truth about lukewarm Christianity. Heavenly Father, I love you. And I thank you so much for the Word of God and the working of the Holy Spirit. And thank you for what you're doing in this church. Thank you for the vision in our heart. And I pray tonight that the message would be a challenge, that the message would speak to us, that we would open our hearts to the Word of God and listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And may Christ be honored and glorified. Please bless. Thank you so much, Lord Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. I believe that the greatest enemy of world evangelization is apathy and indifference, which is a result of being lukewarm. About 3-4 years ago, I was at a certain city. There was a big conference. And they had an English-speaking conference, and they had a Spanish-speaking conference, and I was able to, by the grace of God, speak in the Spanish-speaking conference. One of the mornings, I wanted to go hear preaching, and I went to the English-speaking conference that morning to hear the Word of God. And an evangelist stood up, and there was a lot of people. I'll not say how many people, because I do not want to cast a shadow over anyone or anybody. But there was a lot of people in this conference. There was pastors, and there was school teachers, and school directors, and missionaries. It was a very large conference. And the evangelist stood up, and he preached the message, "My brother, on revival." And it was an incredible message. And my heart was just pounding, and I was weeping, and God knows my heart. And I said, "Oh God, that's exactly what we need." And I was sitting by a missionary friend of mine who's a pastor, and he went to heaven this year, Brother Mark Brown. He's a precious servant, precious friend of mine. And he went to heaven this year. And we were sitting together, and when the invitation was given, the Lord knows, the Lord spoke to my heart, and I came to the front, and he was right behind me. And then when I stood up and I looked at the altar, there was maybe 15 of us. And the crowd all sitting. And when I went back to my seat, I said, "Brother Brown, if this message would have been preached in Mexico, the opposite would have been true. Everybody would have been on their knees crying out to God, 'God, give us revival.'" In his message to the seven churches, Jesus spoke to each one of them through the messenger. There in verse 14, the Bible says, "And the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness," talking about Jesus, the beginning of the creation of God. Not only was everything created by Christ, or everything was created for Christ, but He was the reason for creation. Praise the Lord. And He says, "I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot." I would thou wert cold or hot. "So that because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." He knows our hearts. He knows our works. And it's sad to say that many people in churches have lost their zeal. They have lost their commitment. They have lost their desire. They have lost their passion for Christ, their zeal for the Word of God, their compassion for the souls of men. And because of that state of Christianity, there's apathy and there's indifference. And Jesus says, "I will spew thee out of my mouth." Now this is a very, very strong rebuke. Doesn't mean that you stop being saved, because salvation is eternal. Because there he says there in verse 19, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten." This is a rebuke, a chastening rebuke to Christians who fall into the sin, I believe is a sin, of lukewarm Christianity. Tonight I want to share with you, first of all, the symptoms of lukewarm Christianity. Look with me there again in verse 16. "So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold or hot, nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." First of all, we see self-serving Christianity, which is comfortable Christianity. Self-serving. See, no longer are we living the crucified life. "Nevertheless, not I, but Christ liveth in me." No longer are we living the life of a true disciple of Jesus Christ, who loves Him supremely, who has died to himself, who takes up his cross, and his life is to live for Him, to honor Him, to serve Him, to exalt Him, to magnify Him, to do His will, to draw close to Him. Christ is no longer our life, but it's our plans, and it's our desires, and it's the things that of this world that no longer are taking us to greater heights of growth, but are taking us down to live a life of indifference and apathy towards Christianity, towards the church, towards preaching, towards the need. Self-serving Christianity. No longer is His kingdom first. No longer is He first, but everything else is more important. Our pleasure, our well-being, our future, our comfort, not the things of God. Symptoms of lukewarm Christianity. Look with me there in verse 17, please. "Because thou sayest, I am rich and increase with goods." If you read a little bit about the city of Laodicea, it was a very well-to-do city. Read up a little bit about it. In the time of the Roman Empire, an earthquake shook that city and destroyed it. The Roman government offered a subsidy, offered help to help rebuild their city. People of Laodicea said, "No, thank you, we will build it ourselves." They were very rich and opulent people, a very city. And that had worked in that opulence and materialism and wealth had worked into the hearts of this church. And they said, "Thou sayest, I am rich and increase with goods." Number two, another symptom of lukewarm Christianity is self-sufficiency. "I am rich and increased with goods." No longer are we living by faith, but we're living by sight.
No longer are we trusting Him for everything, trusting the Lord with all thy might, and lead into thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. No longer are we trusting Him for everything. We are self-sufficient. The psalmist said, I am satisfied. I will be satisfied when I awake in His likeness. Jesus said, without me, He can do nothing. And the truth is, many, many Christians are very self-sufficient. Trusting in our bank accounts, trusting in our jobs, trusting in our ability, trusting in our knowledge, not trusting Him for everything. Self-sufficient Christians. Then he says there in verse 17, he says, not only thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and look at the verse, and have need of nothing. Number three, satisfaction. Self-serving Christians, self-sufficient Christians, satisfied, have need of nothing. You know, the Bible says we're to abound in the work of the Lord. Many, many, many Christians are satisfied with what they do for Christ. They're satisfied with what they're giving for Christ, to His work. They're satisfied with their spiritual growth. They're satisfied with their prayer life. They're satisfied with what they've learned from the Word of God. They're satisfied with what they've accomplished as Christians. My brother, my sister, every day we need to realize how much we need to be like Christ, how much more we need to know Him, how much more we need to serve Him, how much more we need to honor Him, how much more we need to do for the cause of Christ. Do not become satisfied. Yes, God is blessed. And God is blessed. And understand, please, would you please understand me tonight? I am not preaching this message in any way, shape, or form with a heart that's not right. With the churches in this country. Like I said last night, I'm very grateful to what this country has done to reach our people with the gospel. But you know, the condition of many churches in this country is sad. My wife and I have been in Mexico now going on 25 years, and we come back to the States. She says, Louis, things are different. Things are very different. The thing is, we have been disillusioned because of certain ministries and certain men that have defrauded the cause of Christ. But see, we do not serve men. We serve Christ. We do not follow movements. Because movements come and go. We need to set our eyes on Christ and His name and His glory and His cause. Do not become self-serving Christians. Do not become self-sufficient nor satisfied. And that is my introduction, but the message is not going to go very much longer. Because what is the truth about Christians that are lukewarm? Look with me there in verse 17, and I would like you to see that word in the middle of the verse, that phrase, and knowest not. Several years ago, that phrase just really impacted my heart. You say, I am rich. I am increased with goods. We have everything we need. We're satisfied. We're okay. But the Bible says, thou knowest not. See, that is the danger and the truth of lukewarm Christians. They think they're doing fine, but thou knowest not what God really sees in your life. Thou knowest not. We brag about our Christianity. We clap at our achievements. But
that thou knowest not. And look at the truth about lukewarm Christians. Look at the word wretched. It's a very strong word. As I thought about this passage several years ago, what is more wretched for a Christian to live his life without the grace of God? First of all, lukewarm Christians are living their life without the grace of God. Real quickly, please, you must turn to the book of James, please, real quickly. Because see, we are no longer dependent on Him. We are no longer walking humbly before our God. And the Bible says that He gives grace to the humble. The problem with this church is they have been filled with pride. We are rich. We're increased with goods. And see, God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. There in James chapter 4, and I actually want to read verse 1. Please just follow along. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust, that war in your members? Ye lust, and ye have not. Ye kill, and ye desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight in war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive it, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, knowing not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enmity of God. Do we think that the Scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? Look what it says. But He giveth grace. But He giveth more grace. You don't have to live this way. He giveth grace. Christians are living in their flesh, are fighting amongst each other, are struggling with personal sin, struggling with the world. They're not growing. And the Bible says, listen, you don't have to live this way. He giveth more grace to live the abundant Christian life, to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, to go through trials and tribulations, to give above and beyond what you believe is possible. See, Christians without grace are living the Christian life based on what they think they can do, based on their own reasoning. But see, the life of grace is living beyond your strength, beyond your ability, beyond your resources. And I want to live the life of grace. See, the Macedonian Christians were just like you and us, but there was a difference in their lives. God gave them the grace to give generously, even though they lived in a profound poverty and tribulation. It was the grace of God in their lives. There's nothing like living with God's grace in your life. Lukewarm Christians are living without grace. And the Bible says, you're wretched. Revelation chapter 3, please. Look at the next word there in verse 17. Miserable. Miserable living without the joy of the Lord. The joy of answered prayer. The joy of seeing a person come to Christ. The joy of giving, because there is joy in giving. The joy of seeing fruit in your life. The joy of serving. The joy of walking with God. The joy of serving God in the church. The joy of seeing God work in your life. See, many Christians have lost their joy. That's why there's so much depression. That's why there's so many Christians that are depressed, discouraged. There's no joy in their lives because their joy depends on circumstance. They see, joy does not come, does not depend on circumstance. It comes from the Lord. It comes from the work of the Holy Spirit. It comes from the promises of God's Word. It comes from the hand of God sustaining us. What a joy to be an instrument in the hand of God. We're so privileged to serve Christ. Do not lose your joy. Look at Revelation 3, please, in verse 17. Look at the word poor. Poor. Look at the contrast. You say, I am rich and increased with goods. And
Jesus says, no, you're poor. Because you're living without the true blessings of God. The blessings of God cannot be seen with the naked eye. The blessings of God are eternal. When the Lord allowed us to start our church 25 years ago this December in Mexico, several months later, a missionary, a friend of mine, I just met him, just an acquaintance, he said, Brother Ramos, God has called me to South Mexico, but an hour north from you, about 60 miles north of you, I have an aunt and my mother and my grandmother and several families that have been saved. They're meeting in my mother's house. There's nobody to preach to them. And he said, would you consider just helping them out and going to preach for them? And I was already starting a church in San Luis Potosí. I was already working in another city 2 hours away in Rio Verde, starting another church at the same time because relatives of mine, they lost their loved one, and I went to preach. People were saved, and I began to have Bible studies with them at the same time. And I said, yes, I'll go ahead and go. And that's why I began to pray for laborers. Amen. I began to train my men. You got to help me. I was working in three places at the same time my first year there in Mexico. So we began to train our people. But one of the weeks that I went to preach on Sunday morning, I would leave my home at 6:30 in the morning. And I would drive an hour north. And I would always go there, and they would give me breakfast. Amen. Bean tacos with homemade flour tortillas and hot sauce and eggs and good coffee, amen. But I would go there and we start the service at 8:30 and we end at 9:30, 9:45. I would drive as fast as I could. I would break the speed limit, sorry Lord, but I would drive as fast as I could home and we start our service at 11:00 on Sunday mornings. One Sunday morning we were meeting, there was about 15 to 20 women and one Mexican, typical countryman, ranchero in Spanish. Macario is his name. Didn't know how to read or write. Does not know how to read and write. Worked in the fields all of his life. Wore the typical white pants, white shirt, and hat and sandals. Very typical. And I say, Macario, would you please take the offering? So he goes over to the kitchen area, grabs a yellow plastic bowl, and he takes an offering. He puts it on the pulpit. It was equivalent to about $5 at the most, maybe less than that. Then after he put the plate down, he went back to the kitchen to grab another plate. He grabbed a red plate. I said, good, because the offering was so low, he's going to take a second offering, I thought to myself. He took a second offering. And he brought it to the pulpit, put it on this side, and it was three times the amount of the first, about $15 worth. And I said, Macario, why are you taking a second offering? He said, Brother Ramos, Brother Noé, the brother who led them to Christ, not only taught them the tithe, but they began to support three missionaries. And now this is in Huizache. This is a very, 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 very poor part of Mexico. Very poor, and their faith. They were taking every 15 days their faith promise, and I asked them, "This is your tithe? Did you all tithe?" They said, "Yes, we tithe." I said, "But your faith promise is three times the amount. How did you do that?" And they said, "Well, Brother Ramos, whenever we have to give our faith promise, we take clothes that is given us, and we go to the ranches here and we sell it." And if we don't have enough still, we make flour tacos and we sell them so we can give our faith promise. And as I drove home that day, I wept the whole time and I said, God, thank you, thank you, thank you. Because see, that's Christianity. You invest in the eternal. Lukewarm Christians live without the grace of God. They live without the joy of the Lord. They live without the true blessings of God. And then the Bible says they're blind. Look at the word blind there. I don't have time to go into exposing all that's left. But living without spiritual discernment. many Christians today have lost their discernment. That which is wrong, they call right, and that which is right, they call wrong. In so many areas, area of music, area of standards, the area of well, I better get off that because I'm going to go away from preaching. Become carnal Christians and worldly Christians. No spiritual discernment. Lukewarm, apathetic, indifferent Christianity is the precursor of apostasy. You change the way of living, you'll change your beliefs. And the Bible says they're naked. Naked. Living without any living their Christianity without shame. Unrepented, unfaithful, and do not care anymore. As I finish the message tonight, the cause of Christ and the cause of His kingdom and the salvation of souls around this world has to be the reason why a church exists. And we need for God to revive us. In the area of prayer, in the area of faith, in the area of giving, in the area of obedience. What is Christ's counsel to help lukewarm Christians leave that state of Christianity? He said in verse 19, repent. Repent. Listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. He says there in verse 18, I counsel thee to buy of me. To buy of me. Here the Lord is talking Himself. To buy of me gold, tried and fire, that thou mayest be rich. We must repent. And we must reorder our spiritual life. We must buy of Him. We must value what He has to give us. We must value His riches. We must value His grace. We must value His power. We must value His glory and His honor. We must reorder our spiritual life. We must revive our zeal and passion. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. The word zeal talks about fire. Do we kindle the fire? And then it says in verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, and I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. The sadness of this verse, he's not talking to lost people. He's talking to his church. How we need to fall in love with Jesus. How we need to make Him the center of our life and our worship. And allow Him back in a life of surrender, in a life of obedience, in a life of taking up our cross and following Christ. We must renew our relationship with Jesus Christ. A deacon got upset with a pastor, and sometimes that's common, but oh well. A deacon got upset with a pastor. The pastor offended him. And for two Sundays in a row, the deacon did not come to church. He's a faithful man. The pastor was very, very distraught. The pastor, on an evening, it was a cold evening in the northern part of the United States. It was a cold, chilly night. He went to the home of his deacon, faithful man in the church. And when he knocked on the door, it was in the evening, the wife
answered the door, and he said, "I'd like to see your husband." She said, "Pastor, he doesn't want to see you yet." He said, "Can I still come in?" He says, "Sure, you come in." He's in the family room reading. Pastor walked in and went into the family room, and Deacon was reading the book, and he was reading the book in front of a fireplace. And when the pastor came in, the pastor said, "Hello, my brother." And the deacon was very, very offended, and he didn't even acknowledge his presence. Just ignored the pastor. The pastor did not say anything. He sat in another sofa facing the fireplace as the fireplace was burning. For about 10 minutes, the pastor said nothing, and the deacon said nothing, didn't even acknowledge he was there. He kept reading the book and looking at the fire. The pastor gets up from the sofa, walks to the fireplace, and there was a big log that was just blazing. And the pastor took, what do you call it? It's a fork, the tongs. And he took that log and he put it in front of the fire, in the chimney, but in front of the fire, away from the fire. And he went to sit down. And minutes later, that log began to simmer. The fire began to simmer. And within minutes, it began to smoke. And the fire went out. Pastor got up, went to the door, and left. That next Sunday, the deacon was in his place. You get away from the fire, you will turn to a lukewarm Christian. Heavenly Father, we love you tonight, and pray that you speak to our hearts tonight. Lord, I know that this is a missions conference. But Lord, when you bring revival to our hearts and a passion for you, what's important to you, Lord, will become important to us. And out of a life of surrender, a life of faithfulness and worship to you, we will serve you. We will give faithfully. We will grow in grace. We will win people to Christ. We will be willing to do the will of God. Lord Jesus, please bless tonight. I'd like to ask you to stand to your feet, please, tonight. Would you let the Holy Spirit talk to you tonight if there's an area that has set in which lukewarm apathy, indifference has set into your life towards your walk with God, towards souls, towards prayer, towards church, towards missions? Maybe you need to rekindle the fire tonight of love, of obedience, of faithfulness. Many here need to pray about increasing your faith promise, not satisfied with what you do for Jesus Christ in the area of giving, in the area of service, in the area of soul winning, in the area of church attendance, faithfulness. Symptoms is a self-serving Christian, satisfied Christian, a self-sufficient Christian. Are you living without His grace in your life? The Lord spoke to your heart.